Hi, Choicers! Happy Choices Thursday! Thank you for making great choices and listening to Choices. As always, I am your host, Christine Choi. You can find Choices on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and all the other podcast platforms. Please rate and, most of all, review the podcast to let me know what you think of the podcast so far. It's been almost 6 months since I've started the podcast, and I can't tell you how much I have personally grown, and I hope I have been able to share with you some stories that helped you in one way or the other, helped you feel like you're not alone in this world, helped you feel that we're all in this together, and helped you feel that this podcast is really a place you can come to and be amongst other humans you exist with in this world. And with that said, let's move on to this week's episode. This week, my guest is my dear friend Danny Longden. Today's interview was a bit tough for the both of us, I think. When Danny was 23, he lost both of his parents in an extremely tragic way that most of us can't even imagine. To be honest, this interview was pretty difficult for me because I really did have to ask a lot of difficult questions to Danny of a very difficult time he had gone through, is going through, and probably will have to go through in the future. All in all, I think our close friendship and the trust and comfort we have in each other got us through the interview and created this amazingly vulnerable and open episode for you. So, Danny and I definitely had a disagreement on how we met. Danny thinks that we met in high school, and I think that we met after high school. But we agreed to disagree and moved on to talking about some memories. So Danny recalled us going to a party with our friend Tracy, and I guess I was just going around the party saying hi to everybody at the party. And Tracy and Danny just stood there wondering how I knew everybody. And I guess it turned out that I didn't really know anyone there and that I was just going around and being a social butterfly and talking to everyone. Which, I mean, yeah, I guess I can be somewhat of a social butterfly at times, but thinking about it now, I don't know if I can do that now. Maybe I should channel back into my old days and talk to anybody and everybody like I was able to at one point. Also, he remembered a time when I went over to his house and we were having a couple beers, and I think we were a few beers in, and I just had this allergic reaction to his dog, Callie. And the thing that stood out to Danny was that when we decided that we needed to go to the store to get me some Benadryl, that instead of calling a cab, by the way, this was before the Uber days, so we had to call cabs or walk. I actually had personal phone numbers of two different cab drivers, and I just called one up, and they took us to 7-Eleven, and they dropped us back off at his house, which was probably pretty strange, but my life definitely was a not entirely a normal one. So my memories of Danny are not necessarily specific memories, but kind of just things that happened that caused things, I guess. The first one that I thought of was just my love for cats really, really started with Danny. When Danny was dating a friend of mine, Allie, they got these two kittens from outside of a grocery store, Tinkerbell and Buddy. I watched them grow up like they were my niece and nephew. Man, they were the cutest little things ever. They were babies when they got them. And watching those kittens grow up made me love cats so much, which results into me having my wonderful cat, Kobe, who is, you know, kind of an asshole, but love him to pieces. So thank you, Danny, for my love for cats. And also another one is I tend to be a little high maintenance when I go out to eat. whatever. I like what I like. And when I order food, I tend to be a little specific. And it's funny because Danny has always given me so much shit for whenever we went out to eat that I was really picky. But the way he's given me shit was always so funny because I think he enjoyed it a lot. I think he always thought it was really funny how high maintenance I was about everything. So his face definitely pops up every time I go out to eat and I just can't decide on what I want. So thanks for that, Danny boy. And speaking of which, I did instill in him to try new things in food and made him realize how much he loves steak tartare, which he orders every time he goes out to eat now whenever he sees it. And I also had him try escargot for the first time. I mean, he doesn't order that really ever, but he still tried it and he didn't hate it. So try new things. You're welcome. So yeah, those were some of our memories, which I really thoroughly enjoy. And with that said, here's my episode with Danny. I hope you enjoy. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Joy.
How are you?
Absolutely amazing. How are you doing?
Absolutely okay.
Absolutely okay. That's a terrible answer.
Yeah, I mean, like, not amazing per se, but I'm actually totally okay. Totally fine.
Okay. Good enough.
Yeah.
That works.
We're going to start with a quick game. It's called What Would You Do? WWYD.
Kind of like, what would Jesus do?
Yeah, but then, like, what would you do?
Got it.
I give you a scenario, and you basically just tell me what you would do.
Let's do it.
Okay. A witch is mad at you. She's about to cast a curse on you, but she, strangely, decides that she will give you a choice between two curses. The first curse is that you'll wake up tomorrow and not remember who you are. And the other curse is that you'll wake up tomorrow and not remember who anyone else is. What would you do?
Ooh, not remember who anyone else is, hands down. It's like meeting new people all over again, and they're all the people you like. And if you really like them, then they would like still be a part of your life, and you'd still like them, right?
Right.
You don't have any of those, like, oh, I'm friends with you because I know you and I like you. Like, it's more just like, no, I fucking like you as a person. So, like, you still, all of your real friends would become your real friends again because you just re-met them with no background, and, like, they're just people that you just get along with, you know? Plus, I like remembering who I am. Yeah, I feel like if you didn't remember who you were, it'd be very frustrating.
Yeah.
I feel like it would just be bad.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Also, I would punch the witch and just run away.
But the witch is, like, flying above you, so I don't think you can punch her.
What's your take on that one?
I don't answer these questions, but just for the sake of informing you, I would definitely forget the people around me, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, actually, I think it'd be really annoying because you're just going to become who these people tell you who you are, you know?
Ooh.
But then again, think about it, because they're not going to tell you any of your negative traits. So you're just going to be like, oh, I'm social? Cool. Let me go out and just be social and, like, not worry about my anxiety and my insecurities. And I'll just be like, oh, I'm this super social person. Maybe. Eh?
Like, that's cool. I think that, so you think that, like, your anxiety and your insecurities are, like, stemmed from your personal, okay. I can see that.
I think it's all about self-doubt, you know? It's all self-doubt.
Yeah.
Nobody else doubts you, for the most part. You know, there's people who probably will doubt you until the day you die, but generally speaking, people usually think you're better than you think yourself are.
Okay. Touché.
Okay. All right. Let's get started, huh?
Cool. What's up?
Yeah, so we're actually going to start from the beginning, where you grew up, childhood, family dynamic.
I'm from Cupertino, California. I was born and raised in that area. I got a brother, and yeah, I grew up in, like, a pretty normal white people family. I don't mean it like that. It's just, like, regular-ass family. Yeah, it was cool. We had a dog. We had a cat. We had a pretty normal life. Smoked a shit ton of pot in high school. It's pretty much just, like, your high school stoner.
Tell me about how you were in school, about your friends, and just growing up in young adulthood, adolescence.
In school, I, like, just didn't care about education, I guess. I went to Monta Vista where, like, everybody was super smart, you know? I could consider myself, like, a pretty smart person.
Yeah.
But you're surrounded by people that are just, like, overachievers, you know? So, like, it's pretty easy to just, like, mail it in and just kind of, like, blow through. Yeah, I don't know. We got into a bunch of trouble in high school. Talked about the pot, drank a lot, did stupid shit. Luckily, I was pretty smart about the drug thing.
Yeah.
Like, I never really dabbled in drugs. My older brother was super into like the harder ones, so I was able to see like firsthand and like maybe I don't want that life.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like a blessing in disguise, you know, like where you see like your brother like struggle with shit like that.
Right.
When somebody pulls out cocaine at a party, you're like, no, I'm not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got into like a fair amount of trouble, but like nothing serious.
Yeah.
I don't think I really did anything that was like evil or bad, you know?
Yeah.
Like, mainly just like staying out too late or like getting too drunk somewhere. Then all my friends are actually really good. I like had this weird way of picking like good friends like you. I definitely say that like all the friends that I grew up around were just positive people in my life. And like when shit kind of hits the fan, I was able to kind of lean on them.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that like real young. I have friends that no matter what, if you're in trouble, will like we'll drop everything, you know, and like come fucking help you with whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
That part is definitely why I am who I am today, is because of like the friends I chose. So when I was 23, my parents passed away pretty tragically. That kind of just like rocked the shit out of my world and changed everything, as you can imagine. Like someone who's like in the midst of growing up and like kind of finding yourself, being able to like have all of the things that you fall back on just disappear. That was definitely the hardest thing I've gone through. And that's been like basically my journey for the past 7 years now, trying to like figure out who I am and how I'm going to deal with problems and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was like a I don't know how to explain it, domestic violence tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
Basically my dad killed my mom and then committed suicide, and that's something that I've struggled with dealing with and has been like kind of like a thing in the back of my mind for a long time. But you kind of like look at tragic things like that and like you can either like go like one of two paths. Like you can like sit around and sulk about it, which I took like plenty of time doing, not gonna lie, like definitely like a full year just like,
I mean,
being all sad about it.
Well,
I mean, like, and it's gonna happen,
right?
But then that's like a good, like, also you can't like beat yourself up for doing that because like that's kind of expected, but you gotta like pull yourself out of it. Which back to like the friend thing, like I had a lot of really good friends who were there to just be like, dude, like anything you need. One thing that I definitely noticed about like the whole journey of it is that I was definitely, I spent like a good solid year just like hitting the fucking bottle, like just drinking away like my sorrows, you know, like thinking that like, oh, well, if I just like get wasted, it's going to go away. And then you wake up in the morning with a hangover and it's like right back.
Yeah.
But I was like smart enough to pull myself out of that one.
Yeah.
Kind of focused on bettering myself in as many ways as I can. I do every year in April, which is like the anniversary of my parents passing and also coincidentally both of their birthdays.
Oh wow.
I don't drink. So every April I take a sober month, and that helps a lot because feeling sorry for yourself.
Yeah.
Drinking doesn't really help. So for like that month, I just don't touch alcohol. I'm like, cause there's no positive drinking during that month. It's just like, oh, I'm so sad. You know, like whatever. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like my main way of getting out of feeling that shitty and all down about it is just like focusing on myself. And like, I exercise a lot now and I went to college, I graduated college.
Yay.
Yeah. Yay.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. It was like a big, big step. Don't just like waste away and feel sorry for yourself the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And like, I think I got a lot of people saying like, I don't know how you like made it out of it. And like, my thought process was always like, how do you not, you know, like what was I supposed to do? Just like sit there and do nothing.
So if you don't mind going back one by one, when it happened, what was your first reaction and how was the support system around you? Because I mean, I feel like for me, when that happened, like, I honestly didn't know how to talk to you. I think I just said something like, I'm really sorry I'm here for you, but I, you know, I didn't know how to be there for you.
Yeah, no, I feel that.
So I always kind of wondered, like, how people were there for you.
Like, a lot of it was just kind of, like, a positive was kind of when people just, like, pretended like nothing, not like pretended like nothing happened, but basically just pretended like nothing changed or, like, didn't act like they had to walk on eggshells, right, type thing, you know what I mean? Because, mm-hmm, like, that's something that, like, your whole world changes, and then also, like, all of your friends don't know how to talk to you anymore. Like, that's kind of, right, weird. Not like that you did that, yeah, but, yeah, like, a lot of my friends who were there for me, definitely, like, we would just go out and do normal stuff.
Yeah.
That was actually really helpful, because having something that, like, disrupts your life path so much, and then having, mm-hmm, the few people that were in your life, like, stay constant the way they were before is, like, okay, not, like, everything fucking changed.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was definitely one of those hard things. I kind of did the, like, guy thing, I think, and just, like, gutted it and, like, pretended like I was fine, mm-hmm, which was probably the dumbest thing to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, just like, oh, I'm okay. Your fucking parents just died, dude. You're not okay. And that's kind of how I went about it.
Yeah. And I mean, that's, like, what is it? The first step of grieving is denial, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I read all those. I don't remember what they, yeah, all are. I read those, like, at first, and was like, this is bullshit. And then I read them, like, 3 years later, and was like, oh, those are spot on. Yeah. Like, they know what they're talking about. Like, yeah, they're not, like, in that order specifically or, right, whatever. But, like, yeah, all that stuff happened.
How were you and your brother there for each other?
That was a funny one. His wife was pregnant with his first son.
Oh, wow.
And we were there for each other, like, super there for each other. Mm-hmm. But he also had, like, a complete another aspect of his life going on where, like, he didn't really have the time to, like, just stop and do nothing.
Right.
I talked to my brother more than anyone. He's my best friend. I actually was just on the phone with him right before this. I mean, me and my brother have always had, like, a super good bond. Well, that's not true. In high school, we just beat the shit out of each other. But, like, we had, like, a great brother bond.
Yeah.
You know, like, I got your back type aspect. Like, yeah, we were close.
Right. I got your back. Only I can beat you up.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Like, I can talk all this shit to you and I can beat you up. But at, yeah, the same time, like, I got your back. So if somebody, yeah, else does something mean, I'm going to fuck them up.
Yeah.
But when that happened, it, like, just brought us, like, extra closer. And we're guys. But there's definitely that, like, mutual, like, understanding when, like, we've had both had moments where it was, like, clearly, like, pretty fucked up. So, like,
yeah,
we'd call each other and it's like, hey, dude, like, I'm not doing so well. And, like, you know, it was, like, the first year where it was just, like, I'm fucked up. And, like, we would hang out and,
yeah,
talk it out or whatever, or not, you know, just, like, be together. There's also definitely something to the not many people have had a tragedy like, mm-hmm, that happen in their life. I mean, I'm sure there's millions, but, like, the, like, who in your social,
right,
network has, like, you can reach, yeah, out to be like, yo, like, this is how I feel. And, like, most people are like, I don't know what that feels like.
Right.
But having a brother definitely helped, because it was like, oh, I know exactly what that feels like. I'm right here with you.
Right, exactly.
Which was cool.
Did you guys have to go to therapist?
We had, like, a court-appointed therapist.
Oh.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think, yeah, it's definitely for people. It's not for me.
Mm.
Maybe I just had a bad therapist.
Yeah.
Well, I think I got, like, the overview of, like, what it's all about. And it's basically just, like, talking to people about, mm-hmm, your feelings and shit.
Right.
I don't think that I need to, like, talk to a stranger about my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that it's not for other people. It's totally, yeah, for people. And, like, I fully support people doing it.
I also think that says a lot about how many supportive people you have in your life, right? Because I feel like if you feel that you have some people that you can talk to honestly about how you're feeling or what you're going through in your life, you don't feel the need for it.
Yeah, 100%.
And you don't have a hard time speaking about that.
Talking to therapists, I think that's great, but I also feel like being able to talk to people in your real life about something that's going on, and, like, you may not have that support group, but you can definitely create that support, mm-hmm, group. A big turning point in that for me was I work with this nonprofit called Next Door Solutions.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically, like, spouse abuse type, like, helping women, uh-huh, who are in, like, shitty relationships get out of it or whatever. Yeah. Most of it's, like, donating things or whatever, but I've also spoken a couple of events in front of, like, 100 people.
Wow.
That was nerve-wracking.
Yeah, I bet.
It was therapeutic in its own way, because, yeah, like, being able to discuss something that you, like, essentially hide, you know what I mean? Like, you're kind of insecure about this.
Yeah.
Being able to communicate about it to other people helps, mm-hmm, a lot. And having to stand in front of 200 people and talk about, like, your biggest hardship is, yeah, like, step one in getting it out there, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, going on a podcast and talking about your parents dying. It's pretty, yeah, fucking good, you know, yeah, what I mean? Like, which is a lot of why I, like, agree to do it. Like, right, hopefully somebody will hear it and be like, wow, like, I'm not a fucking weirdo. Like, this, yeah, happened to me too. Exactly. Or if not, like, I got to communicate about it and, like,
yeah,
it helps as well. Therapy, I think, is often restricted to a room with a lady with a notepad. That, yeah, part kind of, yeah, bugs me. You, yeah, know what I mean? Personally, again, like, what helps you is what helps you. Give the shit. Like, whatever it is, like, go for it. But, like, I did that. They gave us 6 months of free therapy sessions or something. And I don't know where the money came from. But, like, it was from the government. I remember that. Wow. And I went to most of them. And it was, like, I guess, like, when tragedies happen like that. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Maybe it was, like, that life insurance type thing, whatever. But, like.
That's good to know.
I went to a bunch of those. It's cool.
Yeah. How long do you think you were, like, actively struggling with what happened? And when do you think it was that, like, you actually kind of had that moment of feeling, like, I don't know, accepting it, I guess, or, like, feeling better? I don't know what that would be.
I get your question, but, like, I think it's, you're never going to be totally fine. Like, there's still things in, like, I'll randomly see some lady in Whole Foods that looks like my mom and, like, fuck my day up, you know? Mm. But, like, that's fine. I would say in time you get less. It's not, like, an all-the-time thing, you know what I mean? It's definitely, like, I don't really think about it. I still think about it all the time.
Right.
And that's, like, her part of it. I think that this, there's, like, two parts of the equation. You know, like, the sadness of my mom and the anger with my dad is, like, two completely different things. In which, like, I've worked a lot on that one, too. Being able to get past the anger and that part is pretty big, too.
Yeah.
As far as, like, how long, definitely, like, a couple years into it, I was just kind of, like, tired of feeling shitty about it, you know? And, like, kind of just decided, like, I'm a happy person, you know what I mean? I've always been a happy person, so, like... Yeah. That's how I want to live my life, you know? Like, I'm not going to, like, dwell on something for the rest of my life. Like, it's definitely a part of me and it's who I am, but, like, not going to, like, let it, like, ruin me, you know?
Yeah.
The sadness about my mom definitely is, like, it comes in waves, but I'm better about it and I kind of know how to deal with it. And that touches back on drinking.
Yeah.
Which I think is, like, my crutch, you know, in life. Everybody has their vice. Mm-hmm. And that I know that if I'm sad about it, I'm not going to drink at all. Like, if I'm out and about and, like, something triggers it where I just get, like, sad about my mom, like, I'm going to stop drinking immediately. I'm going to go home.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm like, play with my dog or something. Yeah. Like, do something that, like, I enjoy and like, maybe go for a bike ride. The other part of it is the anger toward my dad. And, like, a lot of that is he raised me, you know, like, he taught me everything I know. So, like, having somebody who taught me everything I know, like, also do the most fucked up thing that happened to me. Like, that part takes a little while to get over and to understand that those are, like, two separate human beings, you know, and some people snap. And that's, like, something that I've been dealing a lot with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there is, like, a definitive moment where I was like, I'm not sad anymore. Like, but, like, I guess that goes back into, like, building yourself up. You can't, like, occupy yourself with, like, not thinking about it, like, doing things, but also doing things that are good for you, like, help you move on with your life where you're not just, like, dwelling in this bad moment forever.
Yes. I do kind of want to touch on that anger that you talked about towards your dad.
Oh, yeah.
And you said that's also the man that raised you and that's a different person. How do you separate the two when you look back at thoughts of him? I'm sure no matter how it ended, you have to have feelings of love for him, too.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, how? Yeah, I mean, like, I can't imagine how you do this.
It's difficult. I'll tell you that. You just kind of understand that there's personality traits that he carried that were along the line of, like, what happened. And then there's also, like, the guy who taught you how to tie your shoes and things like that, you know, and, like, how to be a man. Touching on insecurities, like, I overthink the things that I do a little bit sometimes because I'm like, oh shit, is that fall in line with somebody that I'm not trying to be like? And there's no real, like, line where it's like, oh, this part I don't like, this part I do. It's kind of just like, understanding that that's not who he was is, like, big, you know what I mean? Like, knowing that, like, one moment doesn't define who you are as a person, you know what I mean? Like, in that case, like, try and be the best person that you are and, like, try and forgive. I mean, that's, like, fuck, I'll tell you when I forgive him for that one. But, otherwise, just keep doing things.
Yeah. Also, something I wonder about was you have a niece and a nephew, right?
I have two nephews, and then my sister-in-law has a daughter who's my niece.
Okay. How old are they?
13, 6, and 4.
So it's kind of something I wonder about, like, what your brother does and, like, what you would do once you start having kids. How would you guys talk about the family?
Oh, like, where's grandma and grandpa?
Yeah. And I mean, like, it's something, obviously, like, as they get older, they'll find out what happened. I mean, I would
figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a road we definitely not crossed with my nephews. But with my niece, I know at first they told her that they died in a car accident.
Oh, damn.
I've kind of been like, that's your decision, how you want to deal with it. Like, that's that. And like, that's also like, I don't really know how. That's a good question. Because how do you explain to a six-year-old what happened, and how do you like deal with the emotions that come behind it?
Right.
My nephew is actually my youngest nephew. He just started asking me where my parents are. I don't know why. That's like a new thing. He's like, where's your parents? And I kind of just like look at my brother like, what is the answer to this question?
Yeah.
You know, like, what do I say?
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm honest, dude. I'll fucking tell them. Like, I think, like, if I had a kid that I wouldn't tell them, but I would, like, I don't really agree with lying to children. I think you just tell them the truth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How he's dealing with it, I think he's kind of on the more, like, oh, well, you know, like, maybe at one day in their life we'll tell them. I think my niece has kind of caught on, just, like, hearsay of, like, when we talk about stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know how, I don't know the answer to that question. If I had kids, I would probably eventually just tell them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, teach them how to, like, deal with things. That's also one thing that, like, if your children see you deal with a life tragedy in, like, a good way, that teaches them more than anything you could ever tell them. You know what I mean? Like, if you can show your kids, like, dude, I just got, like, the worst news ever, but I'm still standing up straight, that's the best lesson you could ever show your kids, instead of, like, do this, be a good person. Like,
right.
You show them, you know? Like,
yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
Yeah. Okay. Where do you think you are now, currently, on your journey of life?
Currently, my journey, major career change, trying to figure out how to, like, be an adult, which is fun, you know, like, yeah, just doing normal people stuff, trying to, like, figure out life like everybody else, trying to be a good person, stay positive and everything, because I think, especially in this area, like, Silicon Valley, it's just, like, a fast-paced world where, like, everybody's so high-strung and
yeah,
I'm trying to keep positive and not get sucked into that that world of just angry driving and traffic sucks and complaining. Like, I try not to complain and I try not to make excuses, because I think they're just bullshit. Nobody wants to hear them. So, like, that in my life I'm really trying to do.
You are pretty fucking positive and you always look for something better and you're always working on yourself, I feel like. But you also take care of yourself in a way that you care about your peace of mind. Like you said, in this crazy, competitive, kind of crazy world, a lot of times people get stuck on just, like, focusing on one thing. But I feel like your life is so well-rounded. Like, when you were going to school, you were really focused on school, but you were still making time to, like, be around the people you love, hang out with family, hang out with friends. And when you're focused on work, you're focused on work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, where do you get that from? And do you think that's just naturally who you are? Or do you think what happened helped? Or caused?
Kind of like a little of everything. Like, I think that's kind of naturally who I am. I think a lot of that came from my mom. I also think that that's just the way I think about things, you know what I mean? Like, you can't just focus on one thing. You have to, like, concentrate on everything. And, like, in order to have good friends, you have to make the effort to, like, be a good friend, you know what I mean? Or else you're gonna have shitty friends. In order to have a good life, you have to be healthy. Granted, like, you can eat shitty every once in a while, but, like, you have to, like, eat healthy to, like, not feel terrible. I don't know. It's kind of one of those things that you have to focus on and do, but
yeah,
I try my best to, like, stay as well-rounded as I can.
Cool. How do you feel today, physically, mentally, and spiritually?
Ooh, physically, pretty good. I work out a lot, so I'm getting in better shape. Not work out, I just exercise and, like, try and, like, keep my body from getting old, because I'm 31 now and
not old. Like, definitely not old.
You, like, fast. Not old, but, like, definitely not 21, where, like, you can do whatever you want, and you're still just, like, totally fine.
Yeah.
More in, like, a feeling type of way. Oh, like, I don't like waking up feeling like shit. So, like, I exercise, you know? If I party hard for a day, then, like, the next day I, like, focus on myself and, like, get back to normal.
Yeah.
Mentally, I'm pretty good. I just try and, like, think happy thoughts.
Yeah.
As stupid as that sounds. Like, you can, it's so easy to get sad, you know what I mean? And, like, I also, like, think about that. If you're sad, then you, like, carry around this, like, cloud over your head, and then, like, nobody wants to hang out with you. So then, like, you're more sad because nobody wants to hang out with you.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's that's just, like, true. Something, like, you'll never not be sad because then you're sad. And who wants to hang out with a sad guy, you know? Yeah. And then, like, if you're one of those people, like, God, life won't, like, cut me a break or whatever. Like, those people, that's just, like, cancer. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to, if you think like that, then that's, like, what you're putting out to the world is, like, what you'll get back.
Yeah.
If you're, like, a happy-going person, then you're going to meet happy people. Like, you'll meet some people that are sad, too, or whatever, mad, or whatever.
Right.
You'll get a lot more out of life if you stay happy. Spiritually, like, I'm not really religious. I just think I believe in karma. Don't be a dick. And if you're a dick, the world's going to be a dick to you. That's my spiritual karma, you know?
All right. There you go. Okay. What do you think the biggest growth within yourself has been from your early 20s to now?
Kind of just like awareness of my surroundings. And like, I think when you're like 21, do you think the world revolves around you? I think now, like, I'm like compassionate about the people that I'm around and like try and better myself and bring people up around me. I think that's been like the biggest growth. I don't know. That was a good answer.
Cool.
Cause you know, like when you're young, you like, you think about yourself. You're like, oh, how do I like better this? You know what I mean? But like the older I get, the more I think about like, oh, like how as like a whole can I make like, if I make the people around me feel better and do better and like bring them up, like everything's right. Better, you know?
Yeah. You're looking at more of the bigger picture in an unselfish way.
Yes. That was a way better way of saying what I just said. Yes. Script my answers because that was way better than what I... That's exactly what I was trying to say.
No, 100% that's great. What I was trying to say. No, that's
but awesome. Way better.
No, that's great. That's awesome. Okay, so we're going to quickly jump into our advice segment real quick. This is the letter. Hi, Christine. My best friend's been with his girlfriend for a couple of years now, and we're all very close, to a point where I consider her one of my best friends, too. I've always noticed that he doesn't really treat her very well. He makes a lot of remarks about her looks that clearly make her feel like shit. Sometimes she'll say something back to him to let him know that what he said was mean, but he doesn't ever take it seriously. A week or two ago, he said something really out of line, in my opinion. About her weight. When I saw the look on her face, I realized that this has clearly turned into an abusive relationship. I don't really know what to do. I don't want to step over any boundaries. What should I do?
Oh, man. Sounds like your friend's a dick, first of all.
Yeah.
I would say something to him, definitely, like, as a person. If you see, like, something like that that's not even your friend, even if it's just, like, a random stranger, like, you should say something.
Yeah.
And tell them that that's not acceptable. I think some people don't realize that that's not good, you know? Like, people just laugh it off. And, like, I would definitely be like, hey, that's not fucking cool. And, right. Like, not in front of people. Just, like, pull them aside and be like, dude, you're really fucked up to your girlfriend. That's not gonna stop anything. But, like, still, like, saying it is necessary. It's kind of one of those things that, like, she has to decide whether or not she's willing to deal with that. And, yeah. Like, maybe, like, talk to her and be like, hey, like, you don't need to deal with this kind of thing.
Right. I know. It's a tough situation because, I mean, like, obviously he's, like, really – I mean, this is his best friend, right? So if he talks to the girlfriend, it's kind of like – I mean, even though he's being fucked up, it's kind of like he's is he betraying his friend? I don't know.
If it's really his best friend, then he should be able to say whatever he wants in front of him. I believe in full honesty with your best friends.
Yeah.
You should be able to be like, dude, you're being a fucking asshole. Like, stop doing that immediately. Because it's not funny and it's not cool.
Yeah, sure. He can definitely say that to his friend. But I'm talking about, like you said, it's going to come down to the girl being able to decide to leave him, right? But it's like, if she's putting up with it, is it crossing the line for him to talk to the girl? That's probably his biggest struggle, in my opinion.
I 100% agree, but like, I would call your friend out on his shit first.
Yeah.
And then like, is it again? Then I would definitely talk to her and be, I mean, there's definitely like a way of going about it, which I'm not exactly sure what like the best advice on that is, but like, just making sure that she knows, like, she doesn't have to deal with that shit.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I feel like they settle or they feel like they're stuck in the situation, you know, and they're just like, oh, well, that's how it is. Like, that's not true. There's a million people out there. You can go find somebody else.
Right.
My biggest question, like, if this dude is that really, like, who you want to be friends with? Somebody who talks down to his girlfriend? That's not somebody I would want to be friends with.
That's true. Yeah. I don't know how old this person is, but I can imagine this being hard if they're, like, young. But I also feel like he's, like, mature enough to be aware of what's going on, I guess. Right?
Yeah. I wonder if that happens like behind closed doors more or not.
Right.
Like if that's one of those things like the friend does it because he's trying to be cool around his friends. In that case, like I would totally just walk up to the friend and be like, dude, nobody thinks that's cool. Right. You think you're an asshole for doing that.
Yeah.
You know, but if it's like one of those things that's like also happening behind closed doors and getting worse behind closed doors, then if that's him, so you would like go up to the girlfriend and be like, hey, dude, like you don't need to deal with this.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck that friend. I hate that guy.
Yeah. Fuck that guy. just punch him in the face.
Yeah.
No, don't do that. Don't promote violence.
That's right. Don't do that. But he sucks. Leave him as a friend. He's not worth your time. And then just become best friends with the girl.
I think that would be like a weird way of going in. I don't think that's like your main goal. Your main goal is just to make her know that like she...
Just because you know how he said to a point where I consider her one of my best friends too, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that part.
Yeah, so they're already really close. So, yeah, I do agree with you that he should probably talk to her. Good. Great advice. Great advice, Danny. Danny boy. Longden.
Thanks. I think my advice was just like, fuck that guy.
No, it was great. It was awesome. Okay, so we're going to go into a couple of closing questions. So what brings you the most joy right now?
My dog. She's currently laying by the window. Fucking awesome.
She's cute.
Oh, and I don't know, friends. Yeah. Meeting some people. Interacting with the people that I like hold the closest.
Yeah.
They're cool.
Good.
I got some good ones. Like you.
Yeah. I'm kind of far.
Yeah, but we're Skyping.
Yeah.
First time Skyping.
Yeah. Isn't it fun? Isn't it like hanging out with a friend?
No.
No. I know. I'm asking you all these questions. Yeah.
I feel like last time we were like drinking cocktails on your couch and this time we're like
yeah.
communicating through fucking the interwebs.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. Next question is to someone out there that might be going through similar hardships as you did in your past, what would you say to them and where would you recommend they start the healing process?
Ooh, that's a good one. Talk to people. Tell people like how you feel. Don't internalize things, although you're going to. So like that's going to happen. So don't beat yourself up about doing that one. But you have to like communicate how you feel because otherwise you'll just like continue to feel that way.
Yeah.
Face your problems. In this case or any other one, like you can't just like run away from things. Yeah. So don't. That's my advice. Be a good person.
Perfect. I just wanted to really thank you for coming on today and talking to me about something that's so obviously hard to talk about and really personal. And honestly, I'm so grateful that I have friends that trust me to do this. Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you so much and I miss you. And I don't know, we should hang out sometime.
I miss you too. Yeah, I'll fly to New York.
Yes, please do. Okay, I'll talk to you. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, guys, that was my episode with Danny. I am just in awe of how positive he is as a person and just what kind of an outlook he has on life, regardless of the tragedy he's been through. And it just seems like he's stayed so up about it this whole time and he's really built himself up to become this great human, regardless of the hardships that he's been through. And I can't thank him enough for sharing his story with us. I know this isn't a very common story that people go through, but there's somebody out there that's been through something similar to this. And I just want everyone to know that it's okay that somebody's going through something like this and they're able to pick themselves right up and get on with their lives. I mean, you can't forget about what's happened, but with the help of loving people around them, there's so much more in this world, and to realize that is so powerful and so strong of Danny, and I just really appreciate the person that Danny is, and again, I just can't be more thankful of the fact that Danny decided that he would share this with us. So, with that said, you're not alone. We're all in this together. Please remember that everybody's got something, and please depend on the people around you. We all need to love each other and be there for one another. Okay, well, thank you so much for listening. Please remember to follow Choice S Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. It's Choice S Podcast, all one word. And send in your Ask Choi letters as well as any feedback you have on this episode or any past episodes to choicesaspodcast@gmail.com. And that'll be all for today. I'll talk to you guys soon. Okay, thanks. Bye.